Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Bridget Franklin, and welcome to Bridget Franklin Inspires. Today, Tyrone and I, we've been on a long hiatus, a well-needed rest, but we are back here today. And we are so happy. I'm getting ready to bring Ty in. Tyrone, are you there?
I am here.
Hey, Ty, how are you?
Hey, Bridget, how you doing, sweetie?
I'm doing fine. How you doing?
I am making it. God is good.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I just told our listening audience that we have been on hiatus. Our last show was at the Voice of a Prophet conference, and that was so much fun because we had never did a live show. So after that, you know, we had to take a little break. You know, even Jesus got some rest now. Come on now. But we are back, and we are in full swing. And before we start, I want to let our listening audience know that I have received a lot of questions in regards to our topic today about when God takes you out of your comfort zone. And ironically enough, Tyrone and I are both going through a transitional phase where we are both being stretched by the Lord. So we are in it with you. In other words, in the words of Gina Stewart, you are not in this by yourself.
Exactly.
So what I'm going to, yeah, you know, that's real talk right there. And what I'm going to tell our listening audience, if you want to try to get a question in to Tyrone and us today, I have set up an ask.fm profile where you can submit your questions live online, and they will come through to me, and Tyrone and I will try to address them. So without further ado, first of all, I'm going to go into about my Tyrone. I brag about Tyrone all the time. I am a very proud sister. I want to take this time to congratulate him. Tomorrow will be the inaugural opening of his own church, Agape Baptist Fellowship, and I'm so proud of him, so proud of you, Ty. I'm so excited. I wish I was there.
God bless you, baby.
You know,
God has been good.
Yes, he has, and I've been praying, and I was like, Lord, just let your anointing fall down like never before. So I look forward to a praise report immediately after church. I don't want to see it on Facebook. I think I just want you to call me. I think I'm a little bit special. So I want that special treatment. But, Tyrone, when it comes to being stretched out of our comfort zone, we can definitely relate to that because when you are in step with the Holy Ghost, that's when we step out into hard things. And we don't view being taken out of our comfort zone as something that is positive. But really, it's a gift from God because he is trying to move you into the next level. What do you think about that?
Exactly. I often teach, and this is something that I live by, and God had to remind me that if we ever are to effectively, and that's the key word, effectively operate in ministry, we must learn to operate out of our comfort zone. And here's the reason why. When we are comfortable, we get complacent. When we are comfortable, we get used to the norm. We get used to what's going on. And what God has to do, he has to continually push you to greatness. You can never be great. You can never be more than what you are if you never push yourself to be uncomfortable. When you go to the gym, if you want to get in shape, getting in shape and getting the proper build is not something that is comfortable. Lifting weights is not comfortable. It requires pain. The saying is no pain, no gain. So if you're not willing to push yourself beyond where you are now, you'll never grow. And so what God has to do is push us, stretch us outside of our comfort zone, outside of where we're comfortable, outside of what we're used to, outside of the norm, so he can get us to the unnormal. And the Bible says that we are peculiar people. He has to bring us to a place where we are abnormal. And that's
It's so uncomfortable, though. I mean, it's you feel so inadequate. You know, like, oh, I'm just like a stranger in my own land. You feel like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had talked to you many times about with me being in seminary and some of these classes that I'm taking, and I'm just like, wow, I just feel like I'm so out of my element, you know, and that's God really pruning me and working me. And it's not pleasant. I won't even lie and put on the front to say that it's pleasant. But I will say that it's necessary, and in the end, that it's worth it.
Yeah.
So
what we deal with is, you know, with us as people, we want to make God and what God has for us manageable. In other words, we want to be in control of it. And the moment it's out of our control is not so much uncomfortable, but we're not in control anymore. Therefore, we have to operate by faith. If you're sick and you have a sore throat, as long as you feel like you can fix it yourself, you're not going to go to the doctor. But the moment you say, you know what, I can't do this, I can't handle this, you're going to go and seek the person that knows what you don't know. And what God has to get you in a position is where you say, you know what, this is out of my realm of expertise. I can't rationalize my way out of this. I can't figure it out. I don't have the skill set for this. So you have to feel that sense of inadequacy for God to work. Because as long as you feel like you got it, you're gonna do it. But God has to put you in a position where you're just totally out of your comfort zone and totally out of your realm of cognitive expertise. So then you have to lean on faith and let God take over. And that's when the blessing comes. Because then he can take you places that you never thought you could go, because in your own mind, you can only go as far as your mind has been. But God is ready to take you some places that your mind has not yet conceived and not yet thought of.
So are you basically saying that some of this is really boiling down to control or the lack of control?
Exactly,
wow.
Both. We want to be in control. You know, we want to know. We want to be able to know where we're going before we get there. And if we don't know where we're going before we get there, then we are tentative. We take baby steps. When God is saying, I got you. If you just follow me, don't worry about where we're going. I know you're ending before you're beginning. Put your faith in me, and I'm going to take you places that you can never get there by yourself.
Yes, and also I'm going to piggyback on that. On the other end of the spectrum, a lot of times that we are trying to reason, we're trying to, you know, kind of take over to a certain extent. We're trying to reason out why we shouldn't make a move, why we should just stay where we are. You know how people say, well, I'm just waiting on God. I'm just waiting on God. And many times God is waiting on us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, we try to rationalize it. Yeah. We try to rationalize it because we don't want to deal with the pain. And change requires pain. It's not comfortable. It's not something that's joyous many times, because God has to take you through the crucible experience of change in order to get you where he needs to be. Nothing comes by change, does not come without work and without sacrifice. My transition was painful, very painful on many different levels, you know, but it had to be done in order for me to fulfill what God has for me to do. And you're going to have, sometimes you have to cut people off, sometimes you have to cut family off, sometimes you have to make, you know, turn out people that were your frenemies end up being your enemies. And that's part of the change, you know, but it's part of God's mission. And if you just let God take care of it, he'll pull you through if you can stand the pull. But we are mostly tentative because we don't want to deal with the pain. We don't want to deal with that uncomfortable feeling and that feeling of not being in control. And that's why many of us sit where we are and stay in the same spot year after year after year after year.
Yeah, because you remember I had a conversation with you when I had went out to dinner with some other ministers, and how I felt so inadequate because all of them, they were, you know, telling their resume and how many years they had been in ministry and how the Lord called them. And I felt so inferior to them because I couldn't sit there and say, you know, I've been in ministry for 35 years, and I went to this school and this school, and I have this degree and this degree. And you really had to bring me home on that. Can you tell our studio audience basically what you told me?
Well, yeah, of course. You know, where God calls you, he's going to equip you. And let me say this. Years does not equate to experience. Let me say that right off the bat. Years does not always equate to experience, because there are many people that have been in ministry for years but have never changed. And that does not equate to experience. Where God calls you, he's going to equip you, and your story is unique to you. God called you uniquely for your ministry. So I would not, God does not do things in cookie cutter, so I don't want my experience and my testimony to be like everybody else, because if it is, what does he need me for? He's already got somebody to do that. But he's called you and called me to work in our particular section of the vineyard. Therefore, your calling is not going to be like everybody else's. Your experience is not going to be like everybody else's. He's called you because of your set of experience, and your set of experience has shaped you and fashioned you and formed into who you are right now. And therefore, God has a work for you to do right now based upon your experience. So never, ever, you know, diminish your own experience. You're not a grasshopper. You're a giant killer.
I received that. You know, that'll preach right there. I don't know what you're going to preach tomorrow, but that'll preach right there. That will preach right there. And, you know, it's something that I'm going through, you're going through, and so many other people that I'm talking to, a lot of the saints are going through the same thing, you know, whether to make a move or whether to stand still and praying for clarity, you know, and saying, Lord, you know, I want to be in the center of your will. I don't want to be behind it. I don't want to be beside it. I want to be in the middle of it. But it's a faith walk. It's like, you know, Peter getting out of that boat, and the Lord had him said, come to me, and he was walking on water. You know, and you have to get out of the boat, and that's what faith is getting out of the boat.
Well, this comes to that, to the next subject of the of this discussion, and it reminds me of your grandfather. I was listening to his sermon yesterday, The Eagle Stirs Her Nest, and I was listening to that, and it just reminded me, you know, many times, and I'm a creature of habit. I'm a person of habit, okay? And I don't like change. I like things to stay the same. But the bottom line is God's will is going to be done. His will is sovereign. So what he does is he says, okay, I've trained you, I've fashioned you, I've made you comfortable in this nest. And Dr. Franklin would give the illustration of the eagle that will pull the down out of her feathers and line the nest so the chicks can be comfortable as they grew. But once it was time for them to branch out, he would take the feathers and the down and allow the thorns and the thistles to stick up and make the nest uncomfortable to force them out of the nest. And this is what God had to do with me. He had to force me. He had to bring me into an uncomfortable situation and say, it is time for you to spread your wings. It is time for you to do what I've been training you to do all of these years. It's not time for you to get comfortable now. You've been comfortable long enough, so now it's time for you to step out. And the key is, when the chicks step out, they don't know if they can fly or not. Only thing they can do is trust the eagle, trust their mother. And the mother will push them out of, and it's just so beautiful, he will push them out of the nest. And if the eaglets will fall and they will try to fly, if the eagle sees that they're about to fall, he'll swoop down. Well, she'll swoop down and pick them back up. And that's how God would do with us. If we just trust him, even though we fall, God will swoop down and pick us up. He will not allow us to be utterly cast down, but he'll pick us up and hold us up with his hand. But we have to put our trust in him, and we have to get outside of our comfort zone and branch out and fly out in order to do what we have to do.
Yes, and what you answered my next question, because my question to you was going to be, do you feel that the Lord will make you so uncomfortable to where you're just almost forced to step out of your comfort zone?
Yeah,
I mean, it'll just be so miserable, and you'll be so unhappy and so uneasy.
Yeah. And it all depends on your level, your tolerance of pain. I mean, a lot of people have a high tolerance of pain. They can take a lot of pain. And so they can sit there in it for, you know, a long time, you know, and just deal with it and never grow. And there are some that never branch out and just stay there and never grow. But, you know, God has a way of pushing you and tugging you and pulling you. And then when the time comes, you're going to have to spread your wings. God didn't design you to stay put. He didn't design that. Jesus never stayed in one place. He moved from place to place to place. Why?
Right.
Because there are people around that need to hear the word. And so he pushes you. He's going to push you to move from place to place to place, to do this, to do that, to do this, to grow, to matriculate, to branch out.
Wow. And see, I can relate to that in regards to, you know, and some of our listeners may not know, some may know, when I was diagnosed with cancer last year. And remember, I was telling you that for many months before I went to the doctor that I could not sleep and I was uncomfortable and I was itching and I didn't know what was going on. I thought I was having an allergic reaction. And I got so uncomfortable after, you know, using all these over-the-counter medications and taking Benadryl and everything else that I finally went to the doctor. And then when I went to the physician and they were like, well, we're going to go ahead and do, you know, a mammogram, and that's when they found the lump. And then I subsequently was diagnosed with cancer. And I don't know if I told you this part, but the day after I was diagnosed with cancer, the rash went away. It went away, and I haven't itched since. It's just gone. It just went away. And, you know, the Lord talked with me 3 months with that. I mean, my arms were itching, my legs were itching. I thought something had bit me. And I say all that to say it's coinciding with what you just said. The Lord will make us so uncomfortable that we have no choice but to either stay there and be miserable or move.
Exactly.
The bottom line. Bottom line. Now, I'm going to get to our questions because, see, you and I, we can go back and forth on our transitional phase the whole hour. But there are some people that are listening, and they're like, when are they going to get to my question? So I'm going to start off. One of the questions submitted, it said, what if God is asking me to be obedient to do something that is uncomfortable, awkward, or embarrassing?
Well, you know, Jesus often told the people, they say, you know, I want to follow you. And he would say in response, well, the birds have nests and the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. In other words, if you can drink from the cup that I drink of, then of course you can follow me. But that's a very bitter cup. And again, it goes back to personal comfort. It goes back to our level of dedication, or the level of dedication we say we have to God. And when we say, I'll go all the way, well, trust me, God will test your faith and see if you're really willing to go all the way, or if you're willing to go only part of the way, as many of the disciples did. When the rich man came, he said, well, what do I need to do? He says, well, sell all your goods and give to the poor and follow me. And the rich man said, well, I'm not willing to give up all of that. I'm not willing to do all that. Well, your dedication is not all the way. You cannot put your hand on the plow looking backwards and be worthy of the king.
Yeah.
So
to
that question is, you know, if you know that this is what God is asking you to do and God's required of you to do, then take the embarrassment, because it'll be for your good in the end. You know, just like taking medicine, it's going to be bitter in the beginning, but it's going to do your body well. Taking a shot, I hate needles. I hate needles, and me and the doctor will fall out every time. But I got to take the medicine.
I can see you. I can see you now. Oh, Lord,
I've never been good taking medicine. Taking cough medicine, me and my mama would fight. But once I take the medicine, hey, get past that part. Get past the hard part. And God will take care of the rest. So first of all, I would say, you know, make sure you're prayerful. Make sure you know God. Make sure you're hearing God's voice and not somebody else's voice. Make sure you're not hearing your own voice. And once you know, God's going to give you direction, but I can say this, make sure that what God is giving you to do and telling you to do is lines up with the word of God. Make sure it lines up.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, because he's not going to, you know, push you out there on a worldly venture, so to speak. It will line up with his word, whatever he is telling you to do. Because Go ahead, Ty. Go ahead, because you know we fired up about this subject. You know we are. Go ahead, Ty.
You're okay.
We talk about lining up with the Word of God. You know, we have to make sure that, you know, we wait on God and let God give us confirmation because, you know, many times God will give you instructions that are not very clear. They're not all the way, they're not fully, you know, manifested. So just because he's giving you direction doesn't mean it's time for you to move now.
Mm-hmm.
God birthed me in this church 4 years ago. It's been many, many years ago. But every time I was ready, God said, not now. There's more you have to learn. There's more you have to do. There's more you have to go through. Now is not the time. So, you know, always be prayerful. The key is be prayerful and wait for that confirmation. And when you know, if you're prayerful and you're in tune to God, you'll know it. You'll know it. There won't be a question about it.
Wow. You know, you're ahead of me because I was just getting ready to add on to this listener's question. You know, what if you're not sure? What if you're not sure and you went ahead and you answered that question? You know,
yes.
It's just to be prayerful about it and wait on the Lord's direction, because one thing I know about myself, because I own my stuff, is that I can get ahead of God and I can try to help because I think he needs my help. And then I use Faith Without Works is Dead to go ahead and substantiate why I was trying to help. Yeah, yeah. And so that's why the Lord won't tell me everything, because he knows that I'm like my mom. I'll try to help. And so that's what I was going to, you know, add on to this listener's question in regards to that. But that's some solid biblical advice. If God told you to do it, then he will perform it in you. But you have to be obedient. The second question that comes in, it says, can I follow God and remain comfortable when I don't know what's next? Oh.
No. Next question. No.
Nope. Nope. Next question, nope.
No. It's impossible. Look at what Paul said. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he said, let me find it right quick so I want to make sure I'm saying it right. He says, I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received the Jews 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in dangers from rivers, dangers from bandits, dangers from fit from my fellow Jews, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the country, dangers in the sea, dangers from false believers. I have labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides all of this else, I face daily pressures of my own concern for all the churches. If Paul is willing to do all of this for the church, who are we to say that I don't want to be uncomfortable? We haven't experienced uncomfortableness. Just because somebody's talking about you, or just because somebody's not speaking to you, or just because you have to spend a little more money than you're willing to spend, or go a little further than you're willing to go, or get up a little earlier than you're willing to do, that's not going through anything. That's not uncomfortableness. You haven't had your life threatened. You know, and we've gotten so comfortable that we're scared of the challenge. We're scared of pain.
Oh, yeah.
And the pain that we're talking about is not even pain.
No, it's not pain compared to, you can turn on CNN and hear at any given time about people who have been bludgeoned and stoned to death.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
In other countries for, you know, proclaiming their faith. We have a missionary group at church, and they were over in India, and they were talking about how the churches were underground. They were hidden because of the danger of coming out and professing, you know, Christ. And we take that for granted here because we do have the freedom, you know, where we can talk about the Lord and serve him and profess, you know, our faith without any type of repercussions like death. I mean, that's some serious stuff. You know, it is. I'm not trying to diminish things that we go through here, such as church hurt, but it's in no comparison to being bludgeoned to death and stoned and killed just because of your faith. So I agree. You're going to be uncomfortable. So if you want to stay comfortable, don't tell the Lord you'll go. Because once you say, I'll go, is on.
Yeah.
It is on.
And we have so much freedom here, and we take it for granted. And, you know, the thing about freedom, the curse of freedom is complacency. Because
mm-hmm.
we just assume and just expect things to go our way, and we have the freedom to do this or to do that. But when you have people, and I'm reminded of those Christians that were beheaded by ISIS, and they're on the beach, and there were like 30 of them, and they were cutting off their heads, and as they were cutting off their heads, they were crying out, "Jesus is Lord." You know, but
wow.
we don't want to get up and go to church in the rain, you know, or we have to go to two services. Oh, my God, two services? Pastor asking too much. You know, he want me to give $10 ahead of, on top of my tithes, too? Oh, my God, he's asking too much. This is too much. This is too much trial and tribulation. There's too much going
mm-hmm.
on in the church. You know, and we're ready to give up, ready to throw in the towel when we haven't even experienced any kind of pain.
No,
and we say we're
no.
soldiers. We get up and clarify, we're soldiers for the Lord, and we're ready. You know, I'll go all the way. No, you won't. No, 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 no. Let's be real. Because I know myself,
yes.
and I'm going to be real. If I was down there and they're about to cut my head off, and they say, "Listen, you know, we'll let you go if you just say, you know, Allah is God." Now, in my mind, I might say, you know what, I could say that and repent later, and I still have my head.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to say what we would do. You know, when we're not facing.
You know, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, they'd probably kill you anyway.
Yeah, they'll kill me anyway.
You know what
I'm going to say something else.
You know?
I'm going to say something else. Yeah, so that's what's going to get me.
I was telling someone else, I was talking to a friend of mine earlier today, and I was like, you know, stagnation is the enemy. You know, when we are stagnant, you know, and we're complacent. You know, that's the enemy. And, you know, it is so true. We will not want to get up. Oh, it's raining. Oh, you know, I don't want to give an extra $10 on top of my tithes. Oh, you know, it doesn't take all of that. Why serve it so long? You start getting uncomfortable. But when you have to start going down in tunnels and hide to go to church, then you will realize just how blessed you really are.
Exactly.
Because that stuff is real and it's alive, that's for sure.
I wonder how many people we would have
mm-hmm.
come to church if we say, you know what, it's summertime, it's 90 degrees outside, we're going to turn this air conditioning off and close up these doors and just sit in the heat, and we're going to have church that way. I wonder how many people would really come to church then. Or they say, you know what, I'm going somewhere else.
You know, I don't know, because, you know, you go to those little country towns and little churches, they don't have any central air. You know, they have those little white fans, the ones you can buy at Walmart, and they just turn that fan on and let it oscillate. You know what I'm talking about. You know, there's those old churches in the country. They don't have central air, central heat. And then, you know, we're so used to, we have the little padded pews and stuff. No, you're sitting on the little wooden pew. Yeah, you're sitting there, and don't let them have you tarrying for the Holy Ghost. You could be there until 2-3 o'clock, and it's hot. Yes. Oh my goodness, I had a flashback just now. But you know, I did. But you know, we don't think like that because we are spoiled. You know, we are spoiled, and we can just get up and. If we decide, oh, you know, I think I'm ready to go, get up, the man could still be preaching. You get up and you leave, no repercussions. You know, it's our freedom is unreal. But what we need to do is get back to the basics when it comes to, you know, serving the Lord and knowing that he's going to put us in uncomfortable positions to mold us. He's going to purify us, and we will come out, you know, as pure gold. But it's not going to feel good while we're in there.
Yeah,
it's not going to feel good. That is for sure. All right, our third question here. Is it possible for my free will to keep me in my comfort zone or not? I think I read that right, yeah.
Is it possible for your free will to keep you in your comfort zone?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that gets into Calvinism, Arminianism, and all of that. But I would say this. God is not going to force you, per se. Well, let me think about that. because I'm a little Armenian and I'm a little bit Calvinist.
Yeah,
I believe, I definitely believe that God's sovereignty will be done one way or another. It's just a matter of which way you want to go about it. Your free will keep you in the comfort zone for so long, but for so long. Example, Jonah. Jonah had free will. God told him to go to Nineveh. He decided he's going to go somewhere else. So God didn't stop him. He said, you go ahead and go. But in the midst of those things that are happening in him, to him, God's will was still done.
Yeah.
So I would say, you know, to a certain degree, yes, but God's will, if it's his will and his design, is going to come to pass.
Yeah, because it does say that the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable.
Yes.
You know, he doesn't change his mind, and his word doesn't return void. You know, so you can have free will, but my thing is, you know, why would I want to stay in an uncomfortable position? Why would I want to keep trying to box it out with the Lord when I know the Lord is going to win anyway?
Exactly.
To me, that's insane. You know, that's totally insane. That's like just wanting to sit in the fire just because you're being stubborn. I don't want to do it, so I'm just going to sit here and burn.
Yeah.
No.
And, you know, it goes back to, you know, salvation grace. When you have somebody that is total rebellion of God's word and God's design for his life, then you got to go back and look at, you know, are they really saved or not? You know, when you really know God and when you're really in tune with God and have a relationship with God, there's a passion within you that you cannot resist what God has for you to do. You may try to avoid it because it's not comfortable. You may be tentative, but eventually that passion will override your uncomfortableness. I remind of a story. In fact, your grandfather told this story also. There was a young boy that was walking down the side of a lake, and he saw an old man praying. And he sat down behind the old man, and the old man prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. And finally, after a long time, the old man stood up, and the young boy went to the old man and said, well, can you teach me how to pray like you pray? And the old man said, are you sure you want to pray like I pray? And the young boy said, yes, I want you to teach me to pray like you pray. So the old man grabbed the young boy, shoved his head up under the water. And the boy flailed and he fought and he flailed and he fought and he held him and he held him and he held him. And then right when the boy was about to pass out, he let him up out the water. And the boy said, why did you do that? All I asked you to do was to teach me how to pray like you pray. And the old man said, this is lesson number one. When you have a desire to pray just like you had a desire to breathe, then you can pray. And when we are close to God, we'll have a desire to do his will just as much as we have a desire to take every single breath.
Yeah, that's the truth.
That's a C.L. Franklin story right there.
You know, and that's one I have not heard. One I haven't heard. I haven't heard that one. I've heard many of them, but that's one go ahead, send me the link. Yeah, yeah, because now I want to hear it. I want to hear my pawpaw preach that one. Yes, I hadn't heard that one. But, you know, it is true when God has placed a purpose and a calling on your life, you have this passion and you can't shake it. You just cannot shake it. No matter how you try, you cannot shake it. And, you know, that's how I feel about this radio show. I had put on my social media page, you know, I'm excited about the show today if it's our first show, because I'm passionate about the show. You know, I'm passionate about the ministry. And that confirms to me that's something that God put in me as a vehicle to reach other people and to minister to other people. And the same way with, you know, you pastoring, preaching is a passion. And you have to have a passion because people don't see the back end of everything. They don't see, you know, us having to sit and study the word and pray and fast and wait on the Lord to give us revelation. They don't see all that. They see the finished product. You know, they don't see the preparation behind it.
They don't see the price that was paid to get to where you are, where I am, or where anyone is. They don't see that price. They see, you know, the end product, and they feel like it just is easy. And, yes, it comes easy when you have God on your side, but there was a price to pay before that. You know, when it comes to preaching and ministering, you know, it didn't come in the presentation. It came in the preparation. And so once you get to the presentation, the work has been done. But, you know, you have to make that personal decision, I'm going to take this time and do this. You know, as a preacher, you know, especially as a pastor, Saturdays for everybody else is a day off. You know, for us, Saturdays, that's the day when we go in. We can't go out and go to the cookouts and go to this and go to do all that like everybody else because we have a job to do. And that's when we need to, you know, slow it down, bring it in, and focus so we can make sure that we're hearing what God has for us to say. And that's a price that we have to pay. You know, that's the price you pay for what we do. And, you know, you see people that, you know, want to mimic and be a preacher. Okay, well, fine. But, you know, understand this don't come easy. There's a price to pay.
It doesn't. I had taken a picture because I was sitting in my bed and I had, like, two different Bibles, and then I had three textbooks, and then I had, you know, my tablet, and I had my highlighters, and it was a Friday night. And I looked at all of this stuff, and I was like, what man could deal with this part of my life? And there are some women that would be thinking, girl, Friday night, I want to, you know, be out on a date, you know, be at the movies and something, this and that and the other. But instead, I'm home studying. Mm-hmm. But see, that's the price that I'm paying because I know that that's what God wants me to do. And so, you know, the word says study to show yourself approved. And that's what we're doing. You know, so when people say, oh, I want to preach like you, or oh, I want your anointing, do you really?
Do you?
Do you really want it? Yeah. Are you sure that you want it? Are you absolutely sure? Now, Ty, I see my girlfriend, Gloria. She has hit the question mark button. So I'm going to see if Gloria. Now, you remember the last time Gloria hit the button and she hit it by accident? So we're going to see if she has done this by accident again, okay?
Okay, all right.
Okay, and we ain't going to talk about it too bad if she did. Caller 6558.
See, that's what I told Tyrone. I saw. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hit the button. Tyrone, what?
You got to ask a question now. You better ask something. You got to say something now. You on here?
See, I didn't know. I went ahead and, you know, I muted her. But I had to make sure because I know her number. And I was like, oh, she may have a question because, you know, she is a big fan of the show. So I didn't want her question to go
unanswered. Oh, baby. Oh, she going through some change.
So once again, she has made a cameo on our show.
Once again.
Yes, God love her. God love her. Yes. But, you know, Tyrone, this is all, I know that we are helping other people, but this is all ministering to me as well because
Amen.
I am so out of my comfort zone. I really am. And I am a person, I want to please God in everything that I do. And I'm like, God, I don't want to mess this up. And what we have to realize is that sometimes we will make mistakes.
Exactly.
We will. You know, but
it's
just part.
You can't be afraid of making mistakes because, you know, people that never make mistakes never try. You know, and those that are successful, you know, those that are the most successful take the biggest risks. And, you know, you have to be willing to, as Peter, step outside the boat. And understand, Jesus wasn't the only man that walked on the water. Peter walked on the water, too. But he was the only disciple because everybody else played it safe. So you have to be willing to take those risks and go out beyond where you are and say, okay, God, I know this is crazy. I know that I'm not used to this, but you are in control. You are in control, so I'm just going to step out and do what you've told me to do. And when you do, God will do some things in your life, I'm telling you. he will do some things in your life that you would never, ever expect to happen. Because he says,
wow,
now you've taken it out of your hands and put it in my hands. And that's the key. Mm. That's where we want to be. That's where we want to be. We want to be in his hands.
Yes,
but you got
absolutely
to take that step. You got to take that step,
yes,
you know.
Yeah, it's kind of like I saw a video of Steve Harvey was talking about, if you want your parachute to open, you have to jump.
Exactly.
You know, same premise. Same premise.
Same
you know, but because if you never jump, your parachute won't open. And you can hear a lot of arguments about, oh, you could do this when you're in your 20s, and you can do that when you're in your 30s, but not when you're in your 40s and not when you're in your 50s. But I tell people all the time, I think the founder of McDonald's, he didn't
mm-hmm.
succeed till he was in his 50s or something like
exactly.
that.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
So
his 50s.
Yeah, in his 50s. And so you can't put God on a timetable. Like, oh, okay, I missed my window of opportunity. But then a lot of times the Lord says, well, okay, you weren't obedient at first, but see, we're going to go back around. You're going to take your class again. Now, when I prompt you this time, are you going to be obedient, or are we going to have to keep dancing around until you finally submit? And I'm one of those kind of people. I don't want to keep taking a class over and over again. I want to know that I know that I know, but I'm also realistic, knowing that my flesh still calls me to have some type of apprehension, but that's where my faith has to override it.
Well, you know, it's, I thought about this the other day when I had to go to Florida, and I was in Tampa, and of course I don't know Tampa, so I
mm-hmm.
had a little TomTom GPS. I put in the, you know, the little address where I was going, and I started driving. Okay, didn't think
mm-hmm.
nothing about it. You know, TomTom say turn left, I turn left. He say turn right, turn right. He say go there, I go, and I had faith and believed. Okay, this is going to take me exactly to where I need to go. Now what happened was, is that I didn't update my TomTom, and they had changed
Ooh.
Some roads. So my faith fell short because of technology. But when I got lost, of course I had my backup because I went and got my phone and told me how to get there. But then I thought about it. I said, you know, I have more faith in this little TomTom GPS than I do in God. Because this TomTom would tell me to turn right, tell me to turn left, and I'll do it without question. Going somewhere
mm-hmm.
three or four states away that I've never been before. But God will tell you to do this or do that, and we want to question God because we can't see where we're going. We don't know where we're going. And we've got our priorities mixed up. We will follow
yeah.
a map into the
sure.
unknown. But God
mm-hmm.
knows your ending from your beginning. And he says go right, and we want to go left because it looks better to the left than it does to the right. And that's
right.
where we mess
exactly.
up. That's where we mess up.
Yes, I can relate to that because I rely heavily, you know, on my GPS. And a lot of times, you know, you like, oh, well, redirect, and it gets to moving you around. But we do that, you know, with God. We will depend on something that is tangible instead of something that's eternal. You know, so I can totally relate. Well, did you finally get to where you were going, Tom?
Yeah, I finally got there. I wasn't far from it. But it occurred to me, you know, once I was close to my destination, but, you know, after that I was kind of lost. And I like, you know, I've trusted this thing for three full states I've driven away from my home without even thinking about it, you know. And it's leading me to someplace I've never been before, and I've trusted it, you know, implicitly. But God tells you, you know, get up early in the morning and pray. Well, you know, God, why do I have to do that? You know, why do I have
right.
to do this? You know, are you sure, God? You know, and what we do when we say
yeah.
that, when we do that, what we're saying is, well, God, I don't think you know as much as I do. That's
mm-hmm,
what we're really saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's what
right.
we're really saying.
Right. Yeah, because that getting up early in the morning, the Lord is dealing with me on that tip right now, as far as getting up early to seek his face and
mm.
praying before I start my day. And when I get up for 5 a.m. prayer, I see the difference in my day as opposed to when I sleep in that extra hour. You know, so a lot of times the Lord is really prompting us to do things for our good, but sometimes we are reluctant because we feel it is uncomfortable or it is inconvenient for us. And it all goes back to it's not about us, it's about Him. You know, so many times, we forget. You know, we think it's all about us because the Lord has us so spoiled, but it's not about us. Now, my next question, it's our last one. It says, is being taken out of my comfort zone meant to humble me?
Yeah, sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. Yeah. God sometimes has to put you in a position to break you down in order to build you back up. And the person I thought of immediately was David. You know, David was king, the greatest king, but God had to bring him down to where, you know, he had to run and be and attach himself to his enemies for safety, you know. And then he got puffed up again, and God had to bring him back down again and allow his son to take over. And he had to go into hiding again. So, you know, many times God will have to bring, you know, put you in a position and let you know, okay, listen, you didn't do this, I did. And he'll put you in a position that is so dire and so messed up that, if he didn't bring you out, you ain't coming out. But when God brings you out of that situation, you know it's him, and that'll change your whole attitude. And being humble, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just agreeing with you, you know, talking about being humble.
Being humble is the easiest place you can be because, there's no accountability that you have to have. If you're humble, you don't have to prove how much you know. If you're humble, you don't have to prove that you're right. You don't have to take a stand and say I'm right or I'm wrong or I'm this or I'm that. Why? Because it's not about me. It's about God. My success or failure has nothing to do with me but has everything to do with God. And when you can learn to be humble, God will elevate you without you having to try.
Yes,
oh God, that's
agree.
A lesson right there.
Yeah, that'll preach too. That'll preach too. And what we're running into, so many people have been tainted by ministry because they've seen so many people go in it for the wrong reasons. You know, they want to be the next T.D. Jakes. They want to be the next Joel Osteen. You know, they want to be these people because they've made them into a celebrity.
Exactly.
And what it is that I pray that the Lord keeps me humble because you may rise fast, but when you fall, you fall. And we've seen a lot of really good preachers in years past that have fallen from grace, and it is so, so ugly when it happens. You know, so that's why I say, Lord, you know, keep your hands on me so that I may do no harm. Keep your hands on me. You know, check me quickly and allow me to be able to know when I'm getting checked so I can get in line with what you want instead of being in total disobedience, most definitely. Yeah. Yeah, Ty, we can talk about this comfort zone thing for a good grip because it's transformational. You know, you feel like you're like, oh, I feel like I'm on a potter's wheel and that he's molding me and he's molding me and it's uncomfortable. And you don't know how long it's going to last. You know, it's not like the Lord said, oh, you're going to come out of this on September 9th at 3:00. So you have that to look forward to. You're like, oh, September 9th, 3:00. It's over. You have no idea.
You have no idea. You just have to hold on and take it one day at a time.
Yeah, that's true. And then once he gets you to one spot, then he's stretching you to move to another. So really it's just a never-ending process until we, you know, meet the Lord face-to-face.
Exactly. I was talking to somebody today, and they were asking me about, you know, the new ministry, and, you know, a lot of things that, you know, we needed a new ministry I already had. And they said, well, you know, man, you've already got this stuff. And I said, well, listen, I heard a message from Bishop Jakes, and it made a lot of sense to me, is that we always need to have either a ministry, resources, or equipment, or people in place that you don't need. Because once God puts you in another place, he's not done with you. Okay, you made it to pastor. He's not done with you. There's more you're going to be doing. So you need to be getting ready at all times. You need to be moving to that next plateau, be ready to move to that next plateau at all times. You know, you need to be getting ready for your ministry, not next year, but 5 years from now, from 10 years from now. And so you need to be getting, you know, making those preparations and looking beyond where you are. Never get comfortable in where you are and look around where you are. You have to look beyond where you are because that's where God is taking you. I'm not looking at where I am. I'm looking at where I'm going because where I'm going is the destination. But once I get to that destination, guess what? That destination has now become my center, and now I'm looking beyond that. That's how we continue to move forward. That's how we continue to move forward. We don't, when we're driving somewhere, we don't ever stop at the stop sign and just sit there and look at the stop sign. No, we drive past it, looking at it, and say, okay, this is where I am. Where am I going next? But in our lives, what we do is we get to the Georgia State line and stop there and look at Georgia State line and stay there for a little while. Well, you need to keep going. You need to keep going.
Right.
So we need to always be prepared and always, you know, moving forward. Don't ever tell me that the sky is the limit when there's footprints on the moon. I'm going to keep reaching past that.
That's true. That's true. That is so true. And we do. We do that. We get complacent. And we're not supposed to do that. He's just preparing you step by step by step. I was having a conversation with my mom last night, and I told her that as I looked back over my life, I could see where the Lord was setting all the things up. I remember more than 20 years ago, I said I wanted to write a book, you know, but it took years and years and years. The Lord had to allow me to go through some things to be able to write that book. And we are in a microwave society where we want everything right here, right now. And the Lord very seldom, if at all, works like that. You know, it's never. Yeah, it's never overnight. Because like you said, you had been, you know, planning for your own church, what, 4 years?
It's been, he birthed him to me 4 years ago. 4 years ago. And, you know, it's timing. God has his timing and then my timing. You know, our timing is tomorrow. His timing is 10 years from now. You know?
Yeah.
And you have to go willing to go through the process and go through that uncomfortable piece. Because that uncomfortable piece, that's your lesson. That's your training for reigning. You have to be willing to go through that because there's something in there that God wants you to see and wants you to glean from. So when you go through that uncomfortable period, don't ask God why, ask God what. What is it you want me to see? What is it that I need to learn? What am I supposed to receive from this that's going to equip me to get to where I need to be? And when you look at it that way, then it won't look like punishment or an uncomfortable place or a bad situation. It'll look like, okay, this is a lesson for me. This is something I need to learn.
Oh, yeah. I had said to another person I talked to earlier the day before the show, I said, God does not put us where we are comfortable. He puts us where we're effective.
Ah.
And Yeah, that's where he puts us. And I'm noticing that, you know, a lot of Christians, we're all going through the same thing. I'm like, did, you know, God get a group of us and say, okay, you're in group two. Now it's time for you guys to go through the transition. You know, you just never know, you know, what the Lord is doing, but it seems like we're all going through it, you know, at the same time. And a scripture that stands out to me, and I'm going to write it on an index card and I'm going to keep it in my purse, it's Joshua 1:9, where it says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That stood out to me. I was like, he is talking to me. He is talking to me. You know how it'll be one scripture and you're like, you know what? I could just write on that scripture for the next 2 weeks, just the one.
There you go.
Because I'm learning in seminary, I'm learning that you can have one scripture and you can break it down. And the first three words will mean something. The next two words will mean something. And so I'm learning that, that that's something that I'm becoming real passionate about because I love to learn anyway. But when you start breaking down scripture into the meaning, you become so much more fuller. And this right here, this is starting to beat Philippians 4 and 13, which is my favorite scripture. That, you know, that didn't knock this one out the box for right now, because obviously that's where the Lord wants me, in Joshua 1, 9.
Amen, amen.
Are you laughing at me?
A little bit.
You know, I was on a ladies' conference call on Tuesday, and I got off the phone and I said, you know what, I think I preached a little, because I was like going in, and I was like, oh my goodness. So my soror, she said, you think you did a little? I said, oh wow, Lord, when you ask the Lord to stir up your gifts, you better mean it, because He's gonna call you on it. That is for
go
sure.
Ahead, preach, baby. Go ahead, preach. Preach, child.
You know I'm CEO's granddaughter. You know. I was like, holy, I kind of preach. You know, if you preach, you're tired, because, you know, the anointing, you just took all your strength out of you. I had to lay down. I was like, oh, Father. And then I got tickled. I was like, God, you have jokes, but you all right. You all right, Lord. Well, Tyrone, praise God. I'm just so happy for you and so proud of you as your sister, and I will be able to come and worship with Agape in the near future. I'm going to do that before we meet back up in Detroit again for Voice of a Prophet Conference 2016. I'm going to promise you that.
Okay.
And what I would like for you to do as a staple for our program, I would like you to pray us out.
Okay. Father, right now, we just love you, and we thank you, Father, for this day, and we thank you, Father, for this opportunity. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy, and we pray right now, Father, you just bless Sister Franklin, Father, as she takes a faith walk, Father, and bless me and my church, Father, as we take our faith walk.
Yes.
And Father, bless all those that are, Father, that are going through changes and are trying to find their way. Father, we pray that you give them divine protection, give them direction, Father, and let them know, Father, that you're with them and you'll never leave them. And Father, we claim all these blessings and everything that you've given unto us in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
In Jesus' name. And I want to thank everyone who tuned in to the call today. I would like to thank everyone who shares the link once we post it on social media. This is God's doing right here. Tyrone takes time out of his Saturday when normally, you know, pastors are preparing for their sermons. And I thank him for that. And I thank God for him. And I thank God for you. And we will see you on the next episode of Bridget Franklin Inspires. Thanks a lot, guys, and you have a blessed weekend. And I'll talk to you later, Ty.
Bye, Bridget. God bless everyone.
God bless. Bye-bye.